I'm Monk, and I'm like pretty squishy at this point. I haven't invested in defenses. Oh, really? Yeah.
I've played Monk. It seems amazing. Like the responsiveness of the melee combat with WASD and everything, it feels like it feels so smooth. Like, I've never played melee like this before. It's actually wild.
Yeah, so I was not a fan of the Monk. Okay, I'm going to say it. Mm-hmm. Going into the game, chat chose it for me. I am so glad they chose it for me, man. Besides the very start, when I was getting used to WASD and I had to remap my controls, it has been a ride, a very smooth ride for me. I might have just stumbled into an easy campaign, easy Cruel. Cruel was a joke, dude. Crazy. Yeah,
yeah. It's incredible. Wait until you read what Pillar of the Caged God does, and you realize you can level Monk on every character. You just literally pick strength on every single attribute node, and you're going to do a million damage throughout the campaign.
Really? My wife dropped that item. Maybe I need to, have her send it my way.
You just need to stack flat damage everywhere on rings, on gloves, and then just get strength on the passive tree, and you can literally level a warrior and one-shot everything with Monk skills. Yeah, it's wild.
Really? Now, does that scale at all into the end game? Have people already... Okay, so let's start, like, right away, yeah, pal. I have been blind. Oh, yeah.
A buddy of mine, Void, is doing it right now, but he's a rich guy, and he's going to be spending some monies on Astramentis and all the stat-stacking stuff. And yeah, that Pillar of the Caged God staff, it gives you like 300% or 200-300% movement speed. It gives you like 1,000% increased damage, like 100% AoE. It's it's ridiculous. It's going to be a thing, but it's very expensive. But the early game is literally just a few 1x items and the Pillar of the Caged God, and you're going to destroy the campaign. Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. And if you're a Titan and you get the 50% bonus to all the small nodes, right?
It doesn't work on attributes. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah.
No way. Was that? Oh, you know that patch?
Gemling Legionnaire. You're going to get another 1,000 life because you get double the attribute bonuses and stuff like that. So that works. But yeah. I don't really know. It's a little bit experimental, but he's leveling right now. I think he's making a video about it tomorrow. So yeah, it's gonna be. It looks really super cool, man.
How have you enjoyed PoE2 so far? I haven't watched any videos. I haven't looked at the titles, so I don't know if you're a fan of it, not a fan, mediocre. If you're making builds, if you're just cruising through endgame, how's it been so far, dude?
I haven't been making a lot of content simply because I got nerfed every single build I've played so far. I got nerfed on Gas Grenade, I got nerfed on Gas Arrow, I got nerfed on Castle Shark, I got nerfed on Castle Ignite, and now I'm on my fifth character, and now I think it's finally time. It's finally time. I'm going to make a video about a build. Think about that for a second.
Ooh,
isn't that insane?
One week in.
Yeah.
You're confident this isn't going to get nerfed?
It's not going to get nerfed, no. It's completely ethical. It's going to fall off next level 100%. It is one-shotting bosses, but it's fine. This time around, it's like ethically sourced OP-ness this time around. Yeah.
Really? Okay, so let's dive into the ethical OP. I think that's an interesting debate. I have seen that people have freaked out, especially about the cock nerfs. It was like cast on freeze, primarily with Comet and the like. What was going on there? I didn't see any of the footage, but somebody I trust said that it was basically Path of Exile 1 screen vomit in PoE2. Is that what was going on?
It was basically, I mean, the thing is, GGG can try and make the game grounded, right? And that's what their goal is. But you've conditioned PoE1 players for a decade to find OP stuff, right? To invalidate the game. So those people with like huge brains, right, are now just like, chugging away at the game, and they're finding broken stuff, and that's just something that has to be ironed out. But it's a whack-a-mole. It's going to go on forever. There is never any stopping to it. The way they addressed it in PoE1 is they just conceded. They said that's the fun of the game, and everybody was like, yeah, it's hella fun. And that's why it was a little bit more niche, maybe. And I think they want to bring it to a broader audience. And I don't know. There's two type of people. If somebody sees me lightning warping around in PoE1 and finishing a map in 15 seconds, there's the first type who's like, oh, that's sick. I want to do this, right? And I want to farm up to be able to do this. And then there's the other type who's like, I just want to play a warrior and take 10 minutes. So this is stupid because I now feel stupid, right? And both sides are kind of valid. It's just kind of like a battle there.
Definitely, especially in the early days of PoE2. I mean, we're 1 week in as of today, essentially. We had our hands on the game for a while. Some people have already been in endgame for, 120, 130 hours, blast in the game. And even this soon into the game, I feel like there are builds like that that somewhat exist, especially since Grinding Gear Games intentionally was trying to bring down the levels massively. I mean, myself, pal, I just went through a cruel. Dude, I was downing bosses in between 3 and 10 seconds. That's crazy. Is that what they want? I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. So here's the issue with trying to make PoE2 grounded, and I thought about this a lot, right? So you have a game that has so many variables, like you have so many things to min-max, that the difference between the top end and the bottom end, there's so many decisions to make, right? If a top player makes all the right decisions and a bottom player makes like 30% of the right decisions, the difference is massive. So who do you balance around? If you balance around the top players, now it's going to be miserable for the bottom ones. So the only thing you can really do is like D4 does it and have less decisions. That's not a knock on D4, but that formula kind of works. Less decisions means it's way closer together, right? And that means that you can't leverage your knowledge as much as in PoE1. And that's why I don't know how this ends. In PoE1, they also, for a long time, if you played for a long time, you know this, they've also, for a long time, tried to get it back, right? Because PoE1 started off pretty, like PoE2 as well, kind of slow, but they could just kind of gave up on it because they understood that, well, the customers wanted something else. And maybe with PoE2, they're trying their best to do it again. Will it fail? I'm not sure. I just think it's really hard to like beat the community on these kind of interactions. And sorry but just to add on,
Go off, King. Go off.
the problem that they create right now is the FOMO, right? They're creating the fear of missing out of somebody makes a good build. Then the people who are behind one day, they're starting to level, it gets nerfed, right? So who gets destroyed? All the people who wanted to follow the build. And that just happens over and over and over. And it's just not a good feeling. On top of that, you have the gold cost issue where it's really bad, right? It's like at the start, you're like, oh, 90 gold. Oh, that's cute. I'm going to respec at level 5. And then you're like level 40 and it's like, oh, 2K gold for every single point. And then you're in endgame, oh, 10K gold. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a shit show. If the gold cost wasn't there, I think it would be a lot healthier.
I totally agree. I feel like it needs to be more than halved. I saw somebody respec their build, and I think they were level 78 or something, and it cost around 500,000 gold. My mind was blown at that. I just got to endgame, and I'm at like 70K gold. That's wild.
But like the thing is, once you get into maps, you get a lot more gold. It's all of a sudden it's like, oh, now I get it. Now I understand what this is balanced around. But the problem is if you never get to end game, then you don't have that gold. But yeah, if you get to end game, you can have hundreds of thousands of gold. So if you're rerolling, you're very flexible, right? But on your first and second character, I mean, I don't know. It's rough.
What do you think the solution is? Because I think there's two obvious ones, right? One is they hand out passive tree resets after these nerfs. However, the problem with that is they set the precedent that, okay, every time a skill is changed that nerfs a build or breaks a build, we'll need to do this for the rest of early access. I think the other solution is what we just talked about, lowering the cost. And that's a permanent solution, though. Is that why you think they're taking so long to act? I'm shocked. I told my boss, he was hit by the cock the other day. He logged on,
Man,
he didn't
you
realize,
don't want
oh
to
my
be hit by the
gosh,
clock.
just literally done, man. His comet build destroyed. He couldn't even play. And he's just not playing anymore right now. So I don't know. I don't know why they're waiting so long. I thought they would put something in by end of day today or yesterday, and they haven't. It's
So
interesting.
people are arguing that this is early access, so it's going to be
Right.
nerfed more often, which everybody who played early access understands. But on the flip side, you also have to say that most of early access that I've played hand out those kind of respecs like candy. They're like, yeah, just take it. Just try out more stuff so we can find more stuff, right? It's just natural. So you have one side of the coin, but you have all the frustration at the same time. So I just think that there's no like you could literally make it free and it would be fine right now. You can adjust that to when the release is actually there, but I think you can find a middle way if you want to, but you could literally make it free and it would be nobody would be like, oh, my friction is gone. Oh no. It's like I don't the easiest middle solution would be okay, do it like in PoE1. After campaign, there's like quests throughout that with the passive points that you get, also respec points. 20 respec points after the campaign. That's also fine, right? There's no regret orbs. That's another thing. No regret orbs means that you can't buy, right? I would have literally spent all my exalts, if I could, on respecking. I would have been fine. I would be like, take my 15 exalts if I can respec my character. And the third issue is that the campaign takes so goddamn long compared to PoE1. Like, it takes so long. There's these maze-like maps over and over and over, and you have to go through it again and again and again. And that just, like, adds up to a lot of frustration, everything combined.
Especially right now, I do understand that. I think with time, that will probably lessen a little bit. And obviously, they're already reacting with some of the campaign checkpoint changes, like teleporting like you can in like Guild Wars 2, which is something I totally didn't expect them to actually add. Thought they would just lower the map size and the like. But yeah, there obviously a lot going on. I think something has to happen. I agree with you. I think that respecking should be a lot easier, especially in EA. People are just going to test out new stuff and then come 1.0. They get rid of it. It's an interesting line that's being towed right now, right? Because on one hand, it's early access. It's a beta. And on the other, many people see this as a complete game. And that is the sell by a lot of people. They're like, oh my, you know, it's very well polished, especially the campaign and all the like. But as soon, I think, as you hit endgame, we're seeing it with the one-shots right now, right? I just hit endgame, but I watched Crypt's review and I watched a few other reviews as well. And I'm reading a lot about how white mobs are just one-tapping people. And with the consequences of that in endgame, that's absolutely insane. And people don't necessarily know how to fix their build. There's a lot of experimentation going on right now. I do feel like the respecs are a given at this point. But
yeah, I mean, the early access debate is basically another one as old as time. It's like, is it, if the devs say it's early access, is that okay? And should we just all adhere to it? Which I think, yes. But the second part of the equation is, so you're getting people to pay to playtest your game, right? So you can also see it from that perspective. And if you see it from that perspective, criticism is a lot more valid, right? So it's just, once again, two camps of people seeing it from opposite ends. And I personally am fine with them doing that. The one thing I don't understand is giving us free respecs would literally make their job easier because we would be able to make more builds and they could nerf all my builds more often, right? So that's, I guess, that. But yeah, I think the reason why they may be so stingy is they also want to collect data on how the respecs, are they right, like balanced correctly? So if they make it free, maybe they don't get data there. That's all I can really think of. Yeah,
that makes sense because there's a lot of people playing still. I was shocked when I looked at the Steam charts today. We're already beating, like yesterday, 450,000. I'm sure it's going to get better as the night goes on. But people aren't either. There are lots of people bouncing and lots of new people are trying it out. Mm-hmm. Or a lot of people are just continuing to play and they're like, they are enjoying it or it's gripping them back in. Or they're like, oh, damn it, I'm going to go try again, even though it's kicking my ass right now.
I took a day off yesterday, which I cannot believe I'm going to say that because it's week one. It's going to be probably my new main game, right? And I took a full day off because I was so frustrated after leveling four characters. I took the day off. I came back and I was like, this is fine. And it's just the thing is the game is just fun to play. I don't know how else to say it. All the building blocks of a good game are there. It just needs to like all come together. And currently there's a lot of frustrations and a lot of, especially PoE1 players who don't like the game, understandably. I think that if you ask, if I played this game 3 years ago, I think I would have probably reacted similar to the Path of Exile 1 Reddit right now. But playing a lot of other RPGs has given me a lot more perspective. So Last Epoch, D4, Torchlight Infinite, those games have really given me a Grim Dawn, have given me a whole other perspective and not just a PoE1 centric perspective. So I like what they're trying to do and I hope it works out. Yeah.
Do you see PoE2 as a synthesis as a lot of those ideas from those other ARPGs right now?
Not really, no. Yeah? I just mean in terms of context. I think it's a very unique game.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't see many systems that are being outright taken from other ARPGs. I really don't. I know some people have been saying, oh, you know, the combat's like Diablo 4, it's really good. I really don't think that's true, you guys. I played Diablo 4. It's not nearly as engaging. I can just face roll across mobs. I cannot do that in this game.
I played Spiritborn. I've played Monk. It's like, to even mention them in the same sentence is a crime. You have not played Monk yet if you do that comparison. Monk is so responsive, so much fun. It's like, I'm going through a map and I'm slower than a Ranger as a Monk. and I'm still happier. It's just, there's just something about it, right? It's like, you're just in control of your character. I don't know how to say it. I've never played Melee like that. So the game has impressed me on a lot of fronts. And I don't know, man. We can discuss about that all day. But at the end of the day, I just have this, like, I'm a GGG shill for 10 years. I've just... Hello. Absolutely. I don't know what to say. They've just surprised me over and over and over again. If you've been around for this long, you know what I mean. It's like, man, they're gonna make something good out of this. And I don't care if it's right now. I don't care if it's in a year. I can wait. I have other games to play. If I know they're gonna get there. Basically, the building blocks are there. Yeah.
Totally agree, man. Yeah, we can move on from this topic. I think we just go in circles for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So, Monk, dude. You said you love the Monk's responsiveness. What exactly are you playing right now?
Right now, I... So the Monk was kind of just for leveling for a build that got nerfed immediately, which was like a cast on shock build. Okay. But leveling with melee has been incredible. With Monk melee, I want to say. Not with the other melee. Now I'm playing Explosive Shot, which is incredibly fun. It's like it's basically a crossbow skill. I know everybody's playing grenades, but it's like a crossbow skill that's incredibly strong. And I tried it's really good for clear. The single target is kind of eh. So I fixed it with like a neat combination of storm burst rounds, which does a lot of damage if the enemy is shocked. A weapon swap to a stormcaller arrow, which shocks like has like 800% more chance to shock. So you have a really girthy offhand bow. And that's your single target damage. And I was basically, I was finishing Doriani in like 10 seconds, right?
Oh, like wow. That. Yeah. That's awesome, dude. You're playing with the weapon swap system then. That's something I haven't touched.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't really figured it out completely. Like, I'm still trying to learn the passive tree itself, like where to put the points in and stuff like that. Because you also have to keep in mind that you have to path your original tree in a way where you can get to those nodes, right? So your original, if you're good... Your original tree will change depending on your offhand tree. So that's also quite interesting. But yeah, I've been having a blast. And the offhand system is very fun. And especially because it's just, you don't have to press a button. It's just, you just assign it to in the menu. Yep. It's so good. I love it.
Yeah, huge fan of that too. I come from Guild Wars 2 where you do have to like weapon swap and the like. And it's not just automatically flowing. That's super cool. The... Two passive treats has boggled my mind. I have not toyed with it. I feel like it's too complex for me right now.
But I think
when I try like the Merc or really dive into the Warrior, I think that's something that I'll definitely toy with a little bit. But on the Monk right now, I'm just full lightning. I'm just cleaving through stuff like no tomorrow. It feels really good. I know that everybody's saying ice is the way to go. And I feel like now that I'm in endgame, maybe... For defenses, so, but
lightning is still alive. If you look up, I don't know if you know Milky BK.
No.
Do you know Milky? No. Like he has a really good thunder build out. Whatever that skill is called.
Falling thunder.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Really?
It is. It looks. It's incredible. He's been playing it since day one. He's been weathering the nerfs, and it still absolutely slaps. He was like Flicker Strike for a while. He tested it all, and that build is. Absolutely amazing. I used his leveling guide for leveling my monk for the cast on shark build, and it was a breeze. It was like, it was easier than ranger, which is wild. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely have to check that out because I've been doing Tempest Flurry with the charge staff, so all the shockwaves flying out.
That's the baseline. Yeah, and you can add, as far as I understand, you can add the thunder on top. If you have like power charge generation, which I think you need gear for, But before that, that's literally all you need, right? That's all you need. That auto attacking with like the extra charge staff stuff is amazing. I mean, I leveled with just that, with no real power charges, a little bit just for charge staff, but not full power charges. It was amazing. Yeah, I just like honestly, I'm just taken aback because I never liked melee in a game that isn't Cyclone. I'm always like, okay, Cyclone's fine. But I don't want to like slam. I don't want to take 2 seconds. In the time that it takes me to do a Sunder, I'm on the opposite of the map with a Ranger, right? It's like, come on, dude. But Monk, like the TPing in between, it's so good. Yeah,
it is. I've really enjoyed it so far. I also have a Warrior in Act 2. Now, it sounds like you are anti-Warrior. What's going on? Have you tried to level 1?
I'm just bad. I'm just too bad, I think. Like, it just is what it is. Like I said, I would cheese Warrior. I understand that you can one-shot bosses on that character with, like, Perfect Strike. There's a lot of other stuff that you can do. I totally get that, Sunder. But I just care more about like the fluidity of the gameplay. It just doesn't feel right to me, but that's just a complete, that's completely subjective, right? So I don't know. I'm also like, the only thing I will say is that I think there's still a lot to do with like weapon swap and totems that I will be experimenting with in the future, but I'm not good enough at the game yet to really do anything complex. So yeah,
no, none of us are, man. It's only a weekend. Don't feel bad at all. Now endgame, dude,
we're gonna get there.
Yeah, we'll get there eventually. Endgame, man. Yeah. So I literally just got there. How long have you played? Have you gotten kind of deep in, or have you mostly been leveling characters?
This is my fifth character. Yeah, I'm a leveling main. Yeah, I hate endgame, and I just want to level all day. The nerfs are just, they're fine. I'm not even mad. Totally fine. Just my fifth character. It's fine. I would have liked to be in endgame, because one of the problems is if you don't get to, so okay,
go in.
Buddy of mine, just got lucky, right? Throughout the first few days, didn't get nerfed, is in endgame, and is literally buying 500x items right now. He's like 4000x deep in his character, and I'm just like, has like millions of gold. Yeah. So all he did, he played as much as me. He just didn't get nerfed on his first build, and he's just like, there's a lot of people like that out there, right? Like, even people watching right now who did not get nerfed or just got like a very small, tiny hit on the wrist or something. And, it's the snowball is crazy, is what I'm trying to say. Because now, if you're in endgame, if you get on to endgame on your first character, you don't get nerfed, you farm exalts, your second character is a joke. It's like you can one-shot everything with leveling gear. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so on that, so let's talk about campaign first and then maybe a little bit about the economy. I don't know if we have a good grip on it yet since we haven't been in the endgame, but it sounds
I don't know.
You don't? Yeah, okay. So campaign itself. You're saying it's taken too long still. So I'm on second playthrough. It's so much faster for me. It's still kind of long for you. What's going on?
Well, no, I'm not saying too long. I mean, too long is like relative, right? It's like
PoE1.
I'm just not used to it. I'm basically just saying it because I'm tired of it at this point because it's my fifth character. If it was my second character, if it was my second character or would have had money for leveling gear, I would have been probably different to it. But it's pretty clear that GGG wants the campaign to be a part of your character. So the way I do it in PoE1, which always gets me like weird looks, is whenever I make a new character, even if I have, let's say I have a level 99 Deadeye, right? In PoE1, level 99. I do a Pathfinder. I will not respec that character. I will literally make a new character from scratch because I love that progression curve. I love figuring out how to level by these like niche leveling items and whatnot to absolutely stomp the game. I love that stuff. So for me, even in PoE1, the campaign is part of the process. And in PoE2, that is just way more emphasized. But for a lot of people, it's like, no, I have a level 90. I don't want to level a new character or something. It's like, I just want one character and I just want it to be flexible. So once again, it's just, I don't know what's right or wrong. It just, once again, depends on the player, right?
So the support gem system and being flexible at endgame.
Crazy.
Isn't it flexible at endgame? It's the passive tree that's the problem now. But the support gem system, you can swap around stuff like that, as far as I understand.
The support gem system is what I always wanted in PoE1. Like in PoE1, going through the campaign, the worst feeling is you have like your crappy level 30 helmet on, your magic helmet with your four link, right? So you can't take it off. Nope. You can't take it off. You find a GG helmet and it you don't have the jewelers, you don't have the chromes, you don't even know what colors you want. So whenever you change the support, you have to like recolor. It is a chore, right? And in PoE2, it's just like testing is so easy. For build creators, it's a absolute, like, it's so good. It's so good. The passive tree, a little bit quirky right now, but the skill system is incredible. Incredible.
Have you been finding any funky combinations yet? I've done a few non-recommendeds on my build, and they seem to work out really well. Have you found anything that's busted? Or
I would say the other way around. I would say more often than not, I don't do recommended. The recommended ones are still a little bit wonky. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I understand it's a good idea, right? Like to guide people.
Yeah.
But you would have to curate that every single league.
Because
new stuff gets added, stuff gets changed. So is that worth the hassle? Maybe it is. And even if some of the choices are really bad, like they just actually don't make sense. And that's because it's just a lot of work to balance every single skill. And there's just going to be more and more skills. And they have to look at every single one. It's like, It seems like a disaster in terms of like keeping that up, but yeah.
See, I kind of agree with you, even though I did use a lot of the recommended stuff. I introduced a lot of very new people to the game, and man, they didn't even use the support gem system at all. Like, they were given support gems, told to use them. They didn't even use them until I physically went and hovered my hand over their mouse and said, okay, the reason you're not doing damage is because you have no support gems. And so once they get to that screen, I feel like it's helping onboard many new players once they see, okay, three options for level one. Thank the Lord. Thank you so much that there's not the...
I do agree. It's probably overall an upside. I do agree with you.
Right, yeah, right. I wonder if maybe if you skip all tutorials, maybe it starts default with recommended off. Maybe there's some like playing they can do there. So it's not always just on for every single person all the time.
You can literally put it in options, right? Because if somebody's is experienced enough to not need it, they're going to know to look in options, right? Or they heard it somewhere. Yeah.
True. I think that's a good idea. So helping people be on Rails a little bit, I have seen it work so far. And with so many new players. Obviously, it's anecdotal. But there's a lot of new players coming in. And a lot of people are kind of correlating the difficulty of some of the bosses to something like an Elden Ring or Dark Souls. Now, pal, I have no idea if you have played those games. I really haven't. And I played Elden Ring, and I could not beat the second boss in the game. Like, I literally couldn't. And I just quit. It was horrible. Are you a fan of the Souls-like games, Elden Ring?
I'm not really a fan, but I've dabbled. So the way I would describe it is, and I don't know if this is true, this is just a feeling, I haven't like researched it or something, but it feels like in Dark Souls-like games, if the enemy starts an attack, you know that they kind of like swing with you. Like, you can't just like walk out of the way. They're actually going to go in your direction. But they don't go all the way. Mm-hmm. At some point, they stop, so you actually have time to respond. In PoE1, it often seems like they go all the way, so it feels maybe a little bit more punishing, so you have to dodge roll out of a lot of stuff. I don't know if this is true. This is complete anecdotal. In terms of the comparison, I don't know. It really depends on what character you play. On my first character, it was like Dark Souls. On my second character, it was like PoE1, so I don't know.
Right. Well, I'm thinking a lot of people don't realize you are still able to trivialize content in Path of Exile 2. Yes, you are still able to feel godly, even literally, you know, as someone who's not a great build maker, who's just put in a fraction of the time of many other players. I'm already like trivializing campaign bosses. And I know a lot of people are struggling on those. I wonder what the best way to talk about that is, because I feel like that's where a lot of the frustration might lie, is the difficulty of the game itself. And like people thinking, oh my gosh, I'm getting wrecked by the Bloated Miller. I'm getting wrecked by the Devourer. It's always going to be this way. I can't play it. And I don't know the right way to nicely like tell players, no, that's not true. Just push or try something new. I don't know.
I think the way to go is to balance it in a way where the first time it's actually going to feel meaningful and it's going to be hard. And to put more power into items and remove like maybe power from you, or make it so you can't really do that kind of stuff on your first playthrough. Through itemization on your second character, you now already completed it once. I don't think it's a problem that you completely invalidate. If you want to, right, you can invest exalts to invalidate the game. I think that's a fine, because there is no alternative, right? What is your alternative? You like, the only alternative would be D3, you can't trade or something. It's like, and even that didn't work out, right? So it's like, what is your alternative? You're going to be able to do that regardless, because there's so much power in items.
Well, that's so a great point, dude. There's so much power in items. I don't know, like weapons especially, man. In early game, oh my god, if you get a magic and then a rare, you instantly start doing so much more damage. I'm wondering, do you think that the current... I know this is going to sound like really weird, but the current way of showcasing new players the importance of upgrading your gear from normal to magic to rare is there and present in the game? Or do you think there's, like in Path of Exile 1, you got rare items from quests. That doesn't happen in PoE 2. You get gems. Yeah. You don't get any items. Yeah. They're in the shop, right? But even then, I don't think a lot of people are checking the shops. Like, should there be a better system to push itemization on players and the way it works in PoE 2? Or...
I turned tutorials off, so I don't actually remember how the tutorials are at the start, but I would envision they really have to show people, like you said earlier, people didn't even support their skill gems. Oh. There should be maybe a quest where it's like all about these gems, like make some shit up, like, oh, these gems have magical powers, it's because this tree over there, right? Like all the power comes from this tree or close. Whatever, and it's
close,
a quest.
Very close.
Yeah, connected with something that people care about who are maybe not analytical thinkers. They're more like, I want to play the story. Connected to a story part, right? Same is true for the other stuff, like passive tree or itemization, right? You can make that... I think you can probably get that through. But it's like, you can't just make pop-ups. Nobody cares. Everybody clicks them away. Make a quest about it, and people are going to care, I think. Yeah.
Do you think that adding some more rewards, like a rare item for a quest in Act 1 would be a good idea? Or do you like the skill system and how they're rewarding the skill gems instead?
Never really thought about that. I don't really think... I mean, I think the game is balanced around you not having rares early, honestly.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I don't really care whether my items are blue or yellow. I just care about like the feel and how difficult it is and whatnot. Like that it has a good balance where it feels fair. I don't think handing out rares is really going to solve anything. I guess it's like prestige or something. But at the same time, like I don't think it does anything. It's just another lever to pull at if you need it. I don't think it's going to change anything. Yeah. I think you should... Conversely, though, I don't think handing out rare items will give people an impression of itemization being important, right? That you would have to actually weave that in once again into a quest or something. You would have to introduce that way. For example, your quest, which is mandatory, by the way, your quest, which is mandatory to progress the campaign, is to put an orb of transmutation on a white item, to put an orb of augmentation, to give put a regal on. And that is like they give you that currency. So they hand you out a rare item, but they also just taught you crafting, kind of, right? That's how simple crafting is in PoE 2 right now. I mean, it's not completely true, but like there it is. And then another one where it's like, here's some gold, buy an item from a vendor or something, maybe like, ooh, this vendor is like, I don't know, he needs money because business is bad. Here, go to him, buy my necklace from him and give it back to me, right? Some stupid stuff like that, right? Like, whatever. You can just weave it in and make it interesting. Yeah,
I totally agree, man. I think that's the way to go. Implementing a crafting quest, a shopping quest. It'll help PoE 1 players and brand new players to the genre. Seriously. Yep. So yep. I hope they do it. We'll have to see. So far, pal, what has been your favorite thing about PoE 2? You played it for, what, 6 days? Basically, you took a day off. Got five characters through the campaign. What's the favorite thing so far?
The skill system by a mile. The skill system and the fact that you can only use a support once makes like decisions so much more interesting. And also, I could literally the gold is an issue, sure, but I can just swap around gems as I want. As a PoE1 player, that is inconceivable. I'm sitting there for my video, like just coloring stuff around, or like if I want to test something out, it's like you have to buy a tabula and whatnot, and it's like I just absolutely love the skill system and how fluid it is. I don't know, you probably noticed already, but if you click on the skill and you put it out, all the support gems get next to it. Like,
yep,
the tech is there, right? Like it just there's all, like I said, there's a lot of building blocks, and at the same time there's also a lot of annoying things which we can also get to. I don't know, but that is like the best thing so far.
Which skill feels the best for you, like the best fluidity? I assume it's something on the monk.
Yeah, it was like, it was just the I think it was Tempest Flurry.
Yeah, that's like the auto attack for the lightning.
Yeah, the auto attack through the charge staff.
Yes.
Amazing. See? Yeah, the movement in there, like it's a little bit ranged. Just amazing. Just absolutely amazing. And then you have the bell for single target.
Uh-huh.
It's just a good playstyle.
Dude, I want to make that bell work on as many classes and weapons as possible in some manner. I just know it's there.
Don't you have to auto attack though with a melee weapon to put it down?
You have to attack it with a not a melee weapon. Oh no, wait, you have to use a quarter staff. I think I don't know. Maybe it's a quarter staff to attack down, but then you can swap to a crossbow and attack it, right?
Oh, yeah, but in order to get up the stacks, like the bell, you can't just place the bell, right? You have to like charge up four attacks or something. So you would have to first auto attack, then place down the bell, and then weapon swap. I don't know if that's actually worth it, right? But yeah, I can see it, right?
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, they showcase that combo in the video, but how are you actually going to make a build like with a crossbow and a quarterstaff function?
You could probably make it work. It's just, is it going to be worth it, right? Like,
yeah.
Weapon swap is actually pretty important. If you do that, you're not doing shield charge, for example, which is actually very smooth. Like, you can move around way faster. You can do blink, right, on your offhand and make your dodge roll way smoother, actually phase for enemies and stuff like that. So it's not like there's no opportunity cost there, right? Like, you're giving up something else. So is it going to be worth it? Probably not, but maybe, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to see once we get all the weapons in the game too. Like, some of the stuff that's really close to my nodes, like my quarterstaff things, a lot of dagger and everything. I wonder if those things that are really close together in the skill tree are naturally going to lend themselves to comboing together well, or if, again, it's just not going to be worth it at the end of the day. There's going to be a lot of experimentation to be had.
Actually, interesting that you say that, because one of the bad impressions that a lot of people had on melee is because they revealed the mace class first, probably. And mace is like, I mean, I've never played a game like where maces are good. It's like slow and clunky. Like, give me axes, give me swords, give me flails. All those are going to feel way better. I promise you. Like, 100%. Like, did you leveled with Monk from the start?
I did.
Yeah. So, Monk at level 1. Did you play a warrior at level 1 as well? Like, the first boss, you did a warrior? Yeah.
Yep.
Do you remember the difference of the auto attacks? It's like, quarterstaff, 1.4 attack speed. Mace, 1.05. It's like night and day.
I almost died.
Yeah, same. I almost died on warrior. The thing is, like, the way enemies work, it's the same with movement speed, right? It's like, if you have a certain attack speed breakpoint, you can get away with an auto attack before jumping or rolling away, right? But if you're just a little bit slower, you will never get one in because the boss is faster, right? Uh-huh. It's the same with getting your first movement speed. It's like, at the start, you're like, oh, I have to dodge roll everywhere. Then you get 20% movement speed boots and you're like, oh, I get it now.
Yep. Yeah. That was probably the break point for my monk. When I got the 20% movement speed boots, I could start with WASD kind of moving out of the way of enemy attacks like that. I didn't have to dodge anymore. I swear I could just dodge behind, like, to the side, like next to a little stone, or just move right out of the AoE of something with ease. And it came so naturally, man. That's one of the things that I am most shocked about. Like, the fluidity of WASD in melee on the monk, especially with all the attacks as well. Charge staff attacking with WASD while moving. Oh my gosh.
It's great.
Yeah.
I love that I have left mouse button off. And I know people can put move on spacebar. It never really felt right for me. I like WASD a lot. It's a little bit restrictive on your left hand. But for me, my right hand, it always has more issues with, like, wrist and stuff. Yeah. So taking away strain from that, for me, is, I mean, perfect. Yeah.
Have you felt any pressure needing to press many different abilities yet with WASD, with your 1-2 flask and the like? Or, yeah.
Kind of, but it's like, I'm used to not, like, I don't just play PoE one, so I'm kind of used to it. Right. Like, I play RPGs and whatnot, so I'm like, I'm fine with it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it's like, I think their last change of, like, the flask changes where they removed 3 flasks was a game changer. Because I feel like 1 or 2 more buttons and I would hate it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And needing to press them constantly as well. A lot of the buttons I'm still only pressing very rarely, you know, like Culling Strike or whatever, or Siphoning Strike for power charges. I'm not pressing those constantly right now. I'm really just auto attacking, re-getting my charge staff and the like, and maybe using some of the Culling Strike for more mobility. But other than that, I'm just killing stuff, and I'm not like spamming my hands or anything like that. So
yeah,
and it's feeling pretty good.
I will say though that auto attack is a little bit like, everything is a little bit like in a weird balance state. For example, if you're a warrior, you're gonna be auto attacking for a long time. If you're crossbow, dude. Leveling mercenary is basically, so here's what the skill system is on mercenary, right? And you'll see YouTube guides. I will die on this hill. You see YouTube guides who are like, oh, you should combo fragmentation round with freezing round and then explode it, and in between you're gonna have 2 reloads and you're gonna swap in between. Meanwhile, I look at their leveling and I'm just auto attacking, doing double their damage, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, bro, why is auto attack so strong? Like, I'm not even judging them. It's just, why is auto attack so strong? Because we are all kind of conditioned to ignore auto attack. But auto attack is just, it's just really good on crossbows. And then you just throw a flash grenade whenever there's a pack and you're chilling. Yeah, it's like, no.
I think that's something a lot of people just, like you said, don't realize how strong it really is, especially with the gems that you can put on it, all the wide variety. Your auto attack can just chunk down bosses with ease. No extra like pressure needed on you. Very safe. Especially on the warrior. I haven't played a lot of the Merc, but on the warrior, I am auto attacking most of the time on bosses. I'm just bonking.
Ben was auto attacking at like level 60 or something, so yeah.
Really?
That is a norm, yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
I think the reason why a lot of people are... So there is actually skills that beat auto attack, but I think the reason a lot of people feel like auto attack is better is because it levels up automatically and they forget to upgrade their skills. Because levels are now a big deal, like a bigger deal than in PoE 1.
Yep.
So that's a big one as well, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel? I felt like the progression was pretty good on mine, on my first character, but then on my second pile, I stopped getting gem drops in Act 2. I'm not getting support gems on my warrior. I'm not getting new skill gems, really. So I almost felt like I hit a brick wall. I'm curious if... It should be so luck-based. I feel like I'm going for all the seeded drops again, but I must not be. Or I was just really lucky on my monk. Because on my monk, I was just literally drowning in skill gems. And now I am in endgame. But like at the tail end of Act 1 and now in Act 2, it's like trailing off and I only have like one support or two supports on a few of my gems for my warrior. I'm curious if that's intentional, like just unlucky streak for me or something.
Not sure. It hasn't happened to me yet.
No,
I haven't really had that. But I also I actually clear a lot more than I would in PoE 1. Like I'm like full clearing zones whether I want or not, because you have to like hug the wall, and then if you miss one crevice, you bet that's where the entrance was, and then you have to backtrack again, right? So I'm full clearing anyways. I'm dropping skill gems left and right. So that's my situation personally.
Okay, and on that hugging the wall. I think that they need to add more clues to the end, kind of like in PoE 1. You know where to go. Maybe they're there, and we just don't know them yet. But I don't think they are. I've ran through a few of these areas now. You know, we're in Cruel, and we're redoing it.
Like, they're mostly random. There's a few things that are like that are static, but in general, I mean, I'm not. I obviously don't know that, but it feels like it's very random. And the problem is also, like I said, these small ledges that are like, you barely see it unless you actually hug the wall and you're like, oh, there it is. I think that, like, why can't some areas be more linear? Why does everything have to be a circle? It's weird because then there are some quests that are in the middle and then you're like circling and you're like, oh, wait, there's something in the middle I missed. But I don't know. It's just every layout just feels so samey.
I think that's a really good piece of feedback. I really do, especially. Yeah. So I played one endgame map. They have the lever thing. Ooh, the vault mechanic from Path of Exile. Oh, yeah. The Path of Exile 1 map. I was like, oh, no, you aren't. This isn't on every map, is it? Is it?
Oh, boy.
GGG? Yeah. I have to see, but I think they should go with some more variation. They obviously have the ability to do so, to make, you know, really wide open maps. Do any of those even exist, dude? Really? Like, even the desert maps, I think there's two or three that have the open expanse areas where it's just, like, very few terrain blocks, very few corridors.
Yeah.
I think they could make more of those. It's so beautiful. Just go for it. Try it out.
Yeah. I feel like just make a few that are just straight. Like, don't make everything a circle. Like, the maps really remind me. I said this, I mean, I was a little bit facetious, but I always hated the layouts in Last Epoch. They just didn't feel right to me. They felt so spacious, but kind of like, it didn't feel right. And then PoE2 made it worse, kind of. Like, I feel like it's that, but even worse, because you don't really know where to go. I don't know what the solution is. I'm not sure if this is like, I have heard a lot of people complain about it, so I'm assuming I'm not the only one who hates that, but that's probably my biggest gripe with PoE2 right now, yeah? The layouts are just annoying to run a lot of the time, yeah.
Do you think if they added more things to them, they would feel better? More rares, more league mechanics? You don't?
No, layout variety.
Layout variety thing? Okay.
Yeah.
On that point too, what I noticed in Act 1 Cruel, there were so many rare monsters. And then in Act 2 Cruel and Act 3 Cruel, they fell off again. I really liked seeing all the rares. I don't know if I'm alone in that. Even though they have... You know, the improved Arch Nemesis mods, I've actually found myself enjoying them and understanding their mechanics a little bit more. I think the tells are a little bit better. I think the effects are better. Okay. I like the rare monster fights in PoE 2. Is that a crime, or are you also a fan?
I remember rares being pretty hard on my first playthrough. Now I'm just kind of like cruising through. But on my first playthrough, I will agree. There's just a few mods that are just stupid on some mob types. It's like Mana Siphoner. What the hell? Why? Like, why Blast. Does an enemy that's yeah? Why does an enemy that's faster than me have Mana Siphoner? I cannot get away, right? It's impossible.
The Flask Siphoner too is, oh man, that's the one that gets me.
Yeah.
Just takes everything away. I can't heal. Oh, it's rough. It's very, very rough. So
yeah.
So far, you've done the campaign multiple times. What did you actually play the first time, pal? I didn't ask you that before it got crushed into oblivion.
Oh, I played Gas Grenade into Gas Arrow into...
You were Merc first?
Yes, Merc first, into Gas Arrow, into Cast on Ignite, into Cast on Shock. So I have like a Ranger.
Yeah.
I have a Monk. I have a Sork. I don't even remember at this point.
It's been a long time. It's been like a week. It's okay. Yeah. Which of those was the smoothest experience, you think?
Ranger. It's not
Ranger?
Ranger is so easy. Monk is second, yeah.
That's hilarious, dude. My brother and dad both re-rolled to Rangers from Sorceress and Warrior. And they're like, haven't even died. You know, I'm clearing Act 1. Haven't even died yet. Look at that. Haha, take that, you guys. So maybe Ranger is superior. I also saw a tweet where the top 1,000 players, the bulk were Deadeyes.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird how that goes.
Uh-huh. Very interesting. I wonder if those are all PUE1 players who are just blasting in the background, making thousands of exalts. When you said that, pal, now I know we're not in the endgame yet. What do you mean he has thousands of exalts? Blasting.
So the thing is that what? Rare items in Path of Exile 2, I just have to be a little bit more silent because I think my neighbors are. In PUE 2, rare items are tiered. So the higher you go in level, the better your rare items are. So you're dropping some rare items in high-level maps that are outrageous. They are so much better than low-level ones that you find in like tier 1s, tier 2s, tier 3s. People are literally just throwing them in a tab, right? Like quad taps, pricing them for 10... Don't even look at them. Just price them for 10x, and they're just selling them like candy because all the people who are progressing get such a power boost from them. So yeah, if you're there early, you're just printing.
Oh, I'm so excited to see those. I haven't seen any tier items yet. I have, though, participated in the rudimentary crafting of PoE 2 so far. Have you partaken in the normal to magic to rare to all the exalt slams yet, or not yet?
You mean the identifying with extra steps?
That is exactly what I mean. The Chris Wilson way. That's what I like to call it. I always pray to him. Man, I have made 3 incredible items that way, and I cannot believe it. I'm shocked.
I don't know what to say. I don't get hyped with white items. I don't get hyped with blue items. I just don't really care that much. I think the way Last Epoch did it is actually really smart with like exalted items, where you have items like mods that are higher than you can craft. So you have tier 6, tier 7, which are unreachable by just crafting. And you're basically finding a base type and then adding on top of it. I think that's fine, but like the idea of white items and then just like gambling over and over, I don't think that's how it's going to play out. I think, yeah.
I was going to say, do we know if that exists in PoE 2? With like the highest, like a tier 5 item, is it possible for it to roll higher than something you can craft? I literally don't know.
I think you can craft everything that you can drop, yeah, pretty sure.
Oh, see, I would also like that. I think that's a great idea because it's always that next monster can't just drop, you know, Headhunter or PoE2 Mage Blood or whatever, but it can drop an item that is something nobody else can craft. You can only find it here. And I almost thought that's how Jonathan described it when you find a tier 5 item, but it was never confirmed. But if people are getting T5 items right now and already crafting and all that stuff, you know. Maybe in the future, maybe for a future patch, because I do think that's a great idea from Last Epoch. Nice jackpot.
Really meta crafted yet. So there's meta crafting in the game, right? With like, I'll remove one mod from suffixes, from prefixes, and so on. So I haven't really tried that yet. I'll have to make my decision then. I'm a little bit weird on crafting because on the one hand, I understand it can't be as complex as in PoE1, which makes sense. It's too much, right? For me, I know it because I've learned it step by step. But for people who are coming in fresh, it's impossible to penetrate. So I think there has to be like a good middle solution, but I think currently it's very rudimentary. But I think that's per design, they're just going to add, like, it was the same in PoE, by the way, and they just added leagues upon leagues upon leagues, and over time it just kind of like changed, right? So, yeah.
Do you think we're going to get some of those crafting leagues back in the game during early access? I know that they've hinted that they will add the extra layers of crafting. Do you think Harvest is going to come back, or any other league, Delve in some form?
Sentinel, I mean, they already have kind of Recombinator, the bench, right?
They do.
So, I don't know. Speculation. No idea. Hard to
say. No idea. Okay. No. All right, then what? Let's do a little bit more speculation. What's the class you're most looking forward to coming into the game? Like archetype?
That's a hard one. Probably Templar, because spell totems. Yeah. I just love spell totems. Like having sparks all over my screen times five than usual. It just sounds really fun. Huntress, I've never played any like spear, like Amazon, like, right? That would be really fun. Those mostly, I think.
Those two. Yeah, I'm hoping the Huntress makes it in, you know, in the next 2-3 months. That'll be super cool. The Cadence. One thing, obviously, they're addressing a lot of the fires, and I'm sure that they want to get the game in a better state, because a lot of the vocal community is saying, oh, it's very bad right now, we need it fixed, right? But we also have to remember, we're going to get like content drops at least at the Path of Exile 1 cycle schedule, which is maddening.
Often, right? Yeah, probably like more often.
Actually. More often. They said like 2 to 3 months is what their goal is, because they want to have it out by December 2025. 1.0,
which is not gonna happen, but
you think there's gonna be a delay?
I'm happy they want that, but it's like, no.
I think there's gonna be a delay, maybe two. It's very possible, and it's probably for the best. I think that this is yet just the beginning. You said it at the very beginning of the pod, like, there's so many great minds in Path of Exile. They're gonna break the game numerous times the next few months.
Yeah.
What's the we're almost at an hour. Of all the clips you've seen, what is the most redonkulous interaction you've witnessed so far in Path of Exile 2 that you can think of?
One that isn't nerfed yet, or?
Oh, if you, sure, one that isn't nerfed, one that is nerfed, you can go with. I don't know if you want to, you know, leak anything. We don't want that, right?
I mean, there's not much to leak. Like, I'm not going to say anything that I don't want to say. I'm just going to say one thing that's a reality. And that's just the lightning arrow stuff with ball lightning and cast on shock that still works. And just one-shots, one-shots that just absolutely destroys bosses. It's probably still the biggest unnerfed thing, I would say. Monk is kind of like fair OP, if that makes sense. It's kind of like, there's nothing about it that feels like off. It's just, that's how the class is designed to be. The class is designed to be strong. So it's kind of different, but yeah, that's going to be. I guess maybe calling out Queen of the Forest, which gives like 100%+ movement speed in a game that, where that probably shouldn't be possible. It's like movement speed per evasion and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
And it's not capped. So that one is probably going to get clapped eventually. If you're buying that one for 100 exalts, then just be ready for the nerf hammer. But yeah.
Have there been any unique items that you've seen that have kind of inspired a build in your head yet? Any new ones? I've picked up a few off the ground, but I haven't seen any posts of brand new wild uniques in the game yet.
Oh, there's a lot. Yeah. I just don't have the money for it right now, but there's a lot of ideas I have. I guess one that's not too expensive that I find very interesting is there's an amulet that has skill limit +1, which counts for a lot of things. Like, for example, Aura of Storms, you can now put on 2. It counts for totems. There's a lot of things that you can do with that. And it's like, just in general, limit +1. I think it could be potentially.
Double bell?
Double bell, yes. You know the support that you put on Bell that it says you to use? The over whatever? I forgot how it's called.
Overabundance?
Overabundance, yeah. Is it? But that has a downside, right? And it's a support, so you can have 3 down if you want to, right? I don't know if that's like really something you want to do, but I'm just saying the opportunities are endless, and especially with more stuff coming out, that shit is going to be interesting.
It's all for the memes, pal. That's what we got to do them for. It's going to be good. Sure. We're going to make a triple bell build work one day. It's going to be good.
Yep, we will.
All right. I want to ask you one question, but I don't know if you're spoiled or not, okay? Because before PoE2 was out, I was asking everybody, what do you think the big pinnacle boss is? Do you already know what the big pinnacle boss is that was supposed to be the hardest content in the game?
I tried to stay away from spoilers. I didn't watch the MP video, so I actually have not seen it yet.
You haven't? Okay, so you don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is.
I also don't know. Any guesses on who or what it might be? Story-wise, I know you gave some great lore on Gems earlier on, so I know you're a savant of the PoE 2 story.
As long as it's not Kalandra that is actually a bird, a fucking bird, I'm happy, okay? As long as the most important characters are not birds, I'm okay. I'm all right.
All right, man. Excellent. Was there anything else you wanted to chat about PoE 2-wise? Thank you so much for coming on, man.
No, seems fine, dude. Yeah, it was
awesome. Well, dude, fun talk. I mean, 1 week in, five characters through the campaign, man. I mean, at this rate, you're going crazy.
I'm a leveling streamer now. Yeah, it's what I do. Yeah.
All right. Well, everybody who's watching on Twitch, on YouTube, check out Palstron's YouTube channel. He puts out very high quality content, and it sounds like there's going to be a build guide incoming very soon. And he has promised it's not going to be nerfed, right, pal?
Okay, let's temper expectations. I'll give you like a 70%, okay? I'll give you 70%.
All right, hey, those are pretty darn good odds. And if you're not into YouTube, he streams on Twitch all the time, twitch.tv/palsteronpal. Thank you so much for joining me here today. I will talk to you later, dude.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. It was fun.
All right.